fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
My name is Jerm. This is Jerm Wolfgang. The Battle of Ideas.
Satori Sadecki, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you, Jerm. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, we were just saying a moment ago, it's been a long time since we last chatted, and a lot has happened, and yet a lot hasn't happened, weirdly enough.
That's true. That's true. I mean, I think the world is waiting to see what's going to unfold within the next few weeks, and with a lot of frustration, but also with a lot of hope.
You are in Iran.
Yes, I am. I am in Iran. Where I work and where my family lives and I live.
Am I allowed to ask which city?
In Isfahan. I mean, I work in Tehran and that's where I'm based. But when because we were hearing the threat of war and because my family lives in Isfahan, I wanted to visit them actually a couple of days before the war started. And then I had my ticket back for Tehran the day before... I mean, the day after the war started, so I stayed in Isfahan, and I'm in Isfahan now.
So what has been happening?
Well, for many weeks and months, the United States and the Zionist regime have been pushing to get Iran back to the negotiation table. And this time, unlike last time, which Iran was kind of... caught by surprise on the eve of the sixth round of the indirect talks between the two countries. This time, Iran was totally ready. Iran had warned ahead of time very strongly that if the U.S. or the Zionist regime strike Iran, it's going to turn into a regional war, and they're going to start it, but they cannot finish it. They're not the ones that are going to decide when this is going to be over. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening. Again, when we were getting ready for the third round of the indirect talks between the United States and Iran, brokered by Oman, and going back and forth from Geneva to Muscat, the United States and Israel attacked Tehran. They started with massive airstrikes on the city that initially took the life of many of our military commanders, but also the popular leader, Imam Khamenei. And the country is in shock, but also people are out on the streets every single night in all the major cities asking for revenge. And that's exactly where we're standing. And that's exactly what the military and the armed forces of Iran are trying to carry out.
Yeah, this was a multi-pronged attack, if I'm correct. I think they called it Operation Epic Fury and Operation The Roar of the Lion.
Exactly. I mean, they should actually call it Operation Epstein Fury. That's the best name for it because we all know where this comes from. This is a war that even Trump was warned that it's a stupid mistake, that it's going to drag the United States into a war that is going to just take the lives of many Americans and bring American assets and interest in the region under Iranian attack. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, we're already hearing that the United States is abandoning a lot of its bases in the region because they have been targeted by Iranian missiles, which, as I said, Iran had very well and very clearly warned ahead of time. And we all also know that Trump is compromised because of Epstein files by Netanyahu. So Netanyahu is the one, the war criminal sitting in Tel Aviv, is the one who is actually steering the situation and getting the United States into this war. And again, American soldiers and American people have to pay the price to save Israel. You know, I mean, Israel could never fight this war alone against Iran. And we all know that, Israel knows that, and America knows that. So that's why we see America getting involved in into this war, to do the dirty job for Bibi, and to wishfully attempt to bring regime change. Because, again, they do not understand Iran. They think that by taking out the popular leader who enjoyed a massive support among the people, the so-called regime is going to collapse, when in fact what we're seeing is, once again, the massive turnout on the streets by people from all walks of life, from different places on the political spectrum, coming to defend their country, because he was the leader of Iran, the entire Iran, no matter which ethnicity, which religious denomination or religion you came from. You would, if you read the history of Iran and after the revolution, you will clearly see that he was the unifying force, and like the glue that stick all the parts together. He is the reason that Iran still has its territorial integrity and its sovereignty. And we're not going to lose that. It's not about one person. He was the most popular leader Iran probably ever has had. But he has laid out a legacy and a plan on how to continue resisting. And it's just, I mean, his martyrdom is also very symbolic to us. I think if people want to understand better about Iranian people and how they see them standing in the world and what they're doing, it would be a good idea to read about the Battle of Karbala and Ashura, the battle led by Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam in the history of Islam. He is the symbol, he's the model, the role model for all of Iranian, not just Iranians, but all Muslim leaders across the world. And also for people who are not, who might be secular and not into religion, I think he sets a very good example of saying never to humiliation. We'd rather stand die on our feet than leave on our knees. You know, like, our liberty, our freedom, our independence is the most important and the most valuable thing that we have. And if we're not going to have that, what's the value of life? You know, the value of life is not in just surviving or just having a luxurious, comfortable life. It's in standing for what you believe in. It's in standing for the values and the morals, the high morals that we have. But also, I think especially people in Africa and in Latin America and parts of Asia understand what it means to be colonized and what it means to be decolonized. We were, by the revolution that happened in Iran, the popular revolution in 1979, we were decolonized. We gained back our independence. And that's the dream for a lot of nations and a lot of countries.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
That's the path that a lot of colonized nations have walked through, and it's it's very painful. It needs a lot of sacrifice. But once you achieve that freedom and that independence, you don't want to lose it at any cost. You want to fight as long as you can to maintain that. Just in South Africa, I give the example of Nelson Mandela. And you know how the demonization and the character assassination works. Nelson Mandela, the great leader of against the apartheid South Africa, was designated as a terrorist for many years. Of course, that's how the colonizing powers are going to describe you, to demonize you. And that's what they have done to Iran. They have, for many years, through their propaganda campaigns, they have tried to show Iran as the evil, or show the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs as the oppressive, as the terrorists. But they have done that to all leaders that fought against imperialism and colonialism. So this is not new. And what the social media, even though they're trying to manipulate the algorithm, they're trying to have control over everything that is put out there for people, still people are finding their ways to understand that Iran stands on the right side of the history. After our leader was assassinated, going through social media and reading the comments, everyone is rooting for Iran, because this is like the war that we're not fighting only for Iran. We're fighting for the world. We're fighting the most evil, the satanic pedophiles and cannibals that kill children all day, and then on their break, they rape children. And they're proud of it. They're proud of it. It's not something that they feel ashamed of. It's not something that if, like, at any time, if they're given the opportunity to do it again, they would happily do it. They, during their satanic rituals, they just sacrifice people. They eat human flesh. They're cannibals. Like, these are the people Iran is fighting. So I think that tells the world where Iran stands. On the other hand, you have, on the other side, which is Iran, you have a leader that was martyred alongside his family while he was in his office, while he was working in his, he did not, unlike what people were, I mean, what anti-Iran campaigners were trying to, tell the public that, oh, he's like deep underground on this bunker and he's hiding and he's going to flee to Russia and like all of Venezuela, and he's going to seek asylum somewhere. He was there in Tehran, and he came under attack, and he knew it would happen. He knew that he was the main target of the airstrikes, but he wanted to defend his country. And unlike Trump and other people, he wasn't like just sitting in his comfort zone and comfortable luxury life and sending the young people of his country into the war. He was fighting on the front lines. So that's why he's popular. He held a very simple and humble life. And unlike, I'm sure a lot of people might be surprised by that, but he was a big advocate for women's rights. He was the one that I would quote in many cases when I was arguing with people who were, trying to suppress Iran, women's rights, or just have, whatever, especially if you come from a religious background. I always had his quotes and throwing his quotes at their faces, that this is what the leader says about women's rights, and he's the role model. And that's why a lot of women liked him and admired him, because he fought for their rights too. And he was very well read. He knew the history of the world. In the entire history of Iran, we cannot find anyone who has fought with everything he had, like him, against imperialism for so long, without giving in, without surrendering. And I think that's a beautiful example. And I don't know, Jeremy, if you have seen the video of Nelson Mandela meeting with him many years ago, where Nelson Mandela calls him my leader, which tells you where he stands. I think a lot of leaders of anti-imperialism and anti-colonialism looked up to him because we were under the brutal sanctions, the most brutal sanctions that anyone can think of. We were cut off from the global economy. And that's why we were saved from the globalization to a great extent, actually. So we were never part of the Rothschild, banking system. And that's why we can resist, because they cannot cut our hands and arms. In the entire world, which country can you find that has resisted imperialism and colonialism to the extent that Iran has? Which country has, for example, defended Palestine and had paid a very heavy price for it, but still continues to do that because that's the right thing to do? We're not thinking about just a comfortable life. And by the way, even if you want to be pragmatic, there's no guarantee that if you, try to surrender and give concessions to the imperialist powers, you're going to be saved, because they have no mercy to the people. They consider us savages, all of us. They consider us the uncivilized. And they're the Epstein class is the civilized, and we, the people who have fought against all those corruption, are the uncivilized. That's, of course, how they would frame it. But we know what the truth is and where we're standing, and we're proud of the fight that we're leading.
Regarding your comment on women's rights, I don't think the West can actually preach from any pulpit when it comes to that. I mean, firstly, they don't know what a woman is. They abort exactly. 1 million babies every year in the United States. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. And then you have the OnlyFans TikTok generation. It's just absurd to think that they have any moral high ground on this. And by the way, while we're on that topic, I just want to point out that I had to get permission, from a man to speak to you. And there are armed gunmen standing in the room, making sure that you are in line, right?
Exactly. That's exactly how it is. I thought you didn't see the guns, but apparently it looks like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there are just so many ridiculous misconceptions about Iran and Iranian women, especially, and how women are treated in Islam, that like humor is the best way to address it, right? Just get on their tropes and address it.
I get inundated with videos of millions of Iranians protesting in favor of what the US and Israel have done. Apparently, Iranians don't want the current government. They call it a regime because that's how you know that they're being neutral.
Well, there are no millions of Iranians cheering, but yes, unfortunately there are, and we cannot deny the impact of the massive propaganda that brainwashes people. We can see that across the world, but for your audience to understand how massive and invasive the propaganda against Iran is,
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are several channels in Farsi, the language that we speak, in Persian, by the US, the UK, Germany, France, Israel, of course, that are putting out free contents 24/7 to brainwash Iranian people. And especially at times when there's like a blackout and everything, these satellite channels are still working and they're delivering the message. And you will see that these people are so detached from the realities on the ground. They won't even walk outside their own houses to see what's happening on the streets. Just go out and see. Because the millions of people that were on the streets were actually the ones that they're demanding that Iran takes revenge for the assassination of the leader, that Iran responds strongly to the U.S. and Israeli aggression. And a lot of those videos are actually outside Iran. You have, unfortunately, I should say, we have some of the most cringe, sick, and twisted Iranian diaspora that they have been asking Trump to bomb Iran. Of course, they do not have any families living here, because if you do have families and friends living in Iran, how can you ask another country, a foreign country, that has, by the way, been involved in a genocide, and they have a genocide case going on in the international criminal courts led by South Africa. How do you think these people would be liberating you? And for them, for the Epstein class, liberating women is free sex, only fans. That's what they mean by liberating women. They are the ones who have been raping underage women and girls, little girls, as young as, I don't know, like 10, 7. And they're telling us that they want to liberate us. And those Iranians outside Iran, among the diaspora, who are cheering on Trump bombing their country, are just, I'm sorry to say, but they're prostitutes. They're selling out themselves and their country. How can anyone, no matter where you stand with the government, you might have criticized the government, the establishment strongly in the strongest possible forms. But if you are an actual human being with some sort of morals, with family members living in Tehran, in Isfahan, in other cities, you would never ask for Trump to bomb you or for Bibi Netanyahu to bomb you. Because the bombs and the missiles are not smart. They're not going to target only the people who, for example, support the government. They're going to target everyone. They're carpet bombing Tehran. They're just going for exactly what they wanted to do or what they did to Gaza. That's their plan. That's the total destruction of Tehran is what they want. And they want to create chaos. They're trying to push ISIS terrorists through the borders to make the borders unsafe and then unleash death cults into the country, which, by the way, they tried doing that during the January riots to an extent. The terrorists that were on the streets and killed protesters and security forces at the same time were Mossad agents, confessed and admitted by Mossad, by CIA, by American and Israeli officials. So yes, unfortunately, I should say there are Iranians. There are some of my, I don't want to call them my compatriots at all, because they've been living in their safe zones outside the country, and they've been calling for sanctions for the bombing of the country without having to bear the consequences at all. And I'm seeing a lot of non-Iranians on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, pointing out that why are all these women, especially Iranian women in the diaspora that are cheering, why are they all dressed like prostitutes? Because they would even come, maybe the next thing that they will do after calling Trump to bomb their country is to rape them. Because apparently that's where they stand. They want to be part of the Epstein Island, the Epstein class. They want to cheer and thank the man who has raped multiple children and has killed thousands of them in Gaza. And it's shameful, it's embarrassing, and I don't want to call them Iranians. They're just, I don't know, whatever they are, they're not,
they're not patriots.
They're not actually Iranians. They're not patriot at all, for sure. Because No sane human would call for the invasion of their own country, especially after you have seen what happened to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Libya, to Syria.
How dangerous or how impactful has the attack been physically? I mean, has there been a lot of damage?
Yes, in Tehran, we're seeing a lot of damage. The videos that are coming, and I was just looking at some of the pictures coming this morning, it's really devastating. And until yesterday morning, they announced at least 555 people have been confirmed killed, because they're trying to get people out from under the rubbles. So it's going to take a few more days until we'll know how many people actually have been killed. But the images are horrible. Very,
in a school,
very
I believe.
Heartbreaking. Yes, I mean, the first target for this liberation or rescue operation, as some people want to call it, to avoid calling it a war, was a target on a school gear, on an elementary gear school in Minab, south of Iran, where 165 school girls aged between 7 to 12 were massacred. And today was the funeral, and of course, a lot of people are out there to show their anger. But imagine the first thing you do is killing schoolgirls, and then you claim that you are liberating people. They have attacked hospitals, schools, playgrounds. They killed 20 female volleyball players, professional volleyball players, on an attack on a sport club. This is how they're liberating Iranian women. They have attacked a hospital where there are images of the nurses rushing to save the embryo tanks. It's just the behavior of a death cult. That's exactly what they are. Their attack is on life and on any symbols of life inside Iran. It doesn't matter where you stand in terms of politics, in terms of religion or anything. They just want to do massacre. They want to do their going sacrifice. That's exactly what they have been into, what they did in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, and they're doing that in Iran. And of course, the lives of Americans or the people in the region do not matter to them at all. I mean, Trump has said that, yes, we're going to lose soldiers, but that's how it is.
You know what really upsets me is how indoctrinated so many people are. They are consumed by ideology.
Exactly. That's the sad part. A lot of people are lost in that. They're either silent or they're cheering. They do not understand that the bombs are falling on innocent civilians who, even if you want to consider the Iranian government as, you know, you may call it, still there are people who are paying the price. Of course. I mean, these are the terms that they use, totalitarian. Yeah. And I should say, actually, among the left, and because I'm from academia, among the academia, I think those who for many years tried to call the Iranian government, which is the legitimate government elected by the people, calling it a regime or totalitarian, they are complicit. They are complicit. Those people who were fabricating numbers of protesters being killed by security forces, they are complicit, because that's exactly what led to this war. They wanted to fabricate numbers so that no matter how many Iranians they're going to kill, it's still less than what the Iranian regime has killed, as if that justifies the war on the Iranian people. Without, like, for the genocide in Gaza, with so many international organizations also going on to investigate, it took them 2 years to admit that they have, and like carpet bombing the place every single day, 24/7, on hospitals and schools where there's not an actual, you know, government and a coherent government. It took them 2 years to massacre, based on their data, which we know is a lot more than that, 70,000 people, mostly children and women. And for Iran, in 2 days, it's like, even physically, it's impossible. The numbers that they have been fabricating that Iran has killed. And why? And because they wanted to justify an attack on Iran. And we have been warning people. I've been warning those people who are just repeating those fake numbers that this is because they want to justify the invasion of Iran, but nobody wanted to listen. And I mean, people can be brainwashed, but if you are claiming that you're from the left, you're against a neoliberal mentality, against globalization and stuff, and you're still not understanding that the war on Iran is just part of the Rothschild family's attempt to get their claws on Iran, or just getting Iran under control, because we're just the only country that is not part of that yet. And that's why they want to get our resources under their control. It's always been about oil, and Trump is not even hiding it anymore. I mean, look at what they did to Venezuela, and they're just saying that it was because of oil, because they want to have the oil. And they don't want to do trades with you. They don't want to buy your oil. They want to plunder it. They want to exploit it for free, and you have to pay for it. Like, it's not like, well, for example, China and Russia are also trying to buy, for example, Venezuela's oil or Iran's oil, but they're as like equal partners, not like a monster, like a imperialist power just going and plundering the resources of the countries and the nations, just like they have done to Africa, to Latin America. It's always about, lithium, about oil, about precious metals, about all of these natural resources that they want to have under their control without paying a penny for it. And just making the local populations pay for it.
Yeah, one of the distractions that is used in sort of pop culture media is that it's about taking down the totalitarian regime, or it's about Islam.
Yeah, or just look at the region. Even if you look at West Asia or the Middle East and the colonial explanation of it, look at Saudi Arabia. Do women have rights in Saudi Arabia? Are there elections? How often are there elections in Saudi Arabia or in UAE, where there's modern day slavery is going on, and a lot of scholars and human rights activists have warned about that? UAE, don't look at the luxurious buildings and hotels. If you check on the workers there, the indentured service that they're doing, it's worse than slavery. You see in 50 degrees temperature, 6-7 workers from India, Bangladesh, or other countries put into a very small room of maybe 12 meters or less than that, sleeping in one room with absolutely nothing, because these Emirati sheikhs want to put out a beautiful, luxurious face to pretend that if you deal with America, if you don't say no to America, this is what you get. But under the skin, people don't understand what's happening. And just look at, even the U.S. is abandoning its own allies in the region. What is happening to, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, UAE, they have nothing to defend themselves. And that's why they're coming under attack. They hosted U.S. occupation forces in the region, and they're paying the price for it. And Iran had warned them, if you host military bases that are going to be used to target Iran, we have no other choice but to attack them. And by the way, even by international law, those bases are going to be considered the U.S. territory, right? Like, the embassies are U.S. territories. The military bases are U.S. territories. So we're attacking the U.S. We're not attacking our neighbors, even though they have assisted our enemy in attacking us. Yes, if it was actually about Islam, Saudi Arabia has been the purveyor of Wahhabism and terrorism. And you can see Al-Qaeda leader published this video saying that in this war, they're not standing with Iran, and they're on the side. And if you're not standing with Iran, you are definitely on the side of Israel and the United States. That's where Al-Qaeda and ISIS stood. ISIS never attacked Israel. ISIS never attacked American interest, but ISIS did assassinate Iranian soldiers. ISIS did try to kill Iranians, and they're trying to tell us that it's about sponsoring terrorism that they are attacking Iran. It's about nuclear weapons. Israel has the largest stockpile of nuclear warheads in the region, and you know about Samson option. Their nuclear warheads are not going to just target Iran. They're going to target Europe when it's time to. They're going to attack European interests in European countries. Everyone has to pay the price for Israel.
Yeah, in other words, if Israel feels an existential threat, it will just attack everybody.
Exactly, and that's in their ideology, and they don't care. They will bring down everyone, no matter you're white or brown or Muslim or non-Muslim or Christian or whatever, European or Iranian, they will bring you down. This is the ideology that we're facing. So anything that comes out of a Epstein class media should be not taken serious at all. You should actually believe the opposite of what they say. If you're saying that Iran is the sponsor of terrorism, then just look at their actions. They are the actual terrorists. They are the sponsor of terrorism. Like Israel is a terrorist entity. It's a terrorist organization that has killed Americans, Europeans, Iranians, Lebanese, Syrians, Iraqis, everyone. There are not many nations that have not been victims of the Zionist regime in the U.S. They have their claws. They're choking everyone. They want, as I said, they are a death cult that is into just raping and cannibalism.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
They represent Satan. It was not just out of rhetoric that Imam Khomeini called the U.S. the Great Satan. It's actually what they do. They are the satanic class. They are doing everything that you would expect Satanism to preach. It's exactly what they have been doing. And I think it's out there. I mean, people can read about Epstein files and everything that those people have done. They're not even denying it anymore. I mean, how can you deny it when there are so many documents coming out? And of course, nobody is going to talk about how MBS, Saudi prince, or the Emirati sheikhs are oppressive, authoritarian, or terrorists, because they were part of the Epstein files too. They sold their own sisters, they offered their own sisters and family to Epstein. This is where these, UAE and Saudi sheikhs stood. And they were also a big part of supporting Al-Qaeda and ISIS, but there was no attack on them.
When I was in the UAE, a taxi driver did actually tell me that his living conditions were pretty terrible, but he didn't really want to get into it. The other interesting thing is I found out that you are prohibited from flying a Palestinian flag in the UAE. And that's because a whole bunch of those countries are Israeli allies.
Exactly. Even if you, when you walk on the streets in UAE or at the airport, you will see a lot of Israelis walking around freely. But then they do not allow people to fly a Palestinian flag. They are the ones like Saudi Arabia and UAE, but also Qatar. They are responsible for the suffering of Palestinians. They have betrayed their own nation. But yes, this is a war that we're fighting alone. We do not really have other countries, other states on our side. We're fighting alone. But in terms of global public opinion, I would say a great portion of the population of the world is on our side, because the crimes of the Zionist regime have been exposed. The crimes of the Epstein class have been exposed, and people know who we're fighting. And in the region, I don't know if you have seen the videos of massive protests and funerals and memorials held for Imam Khomeini from Kashmir, India, Pakistan, Iraq, Bahrain. Bahrain is, people have been killed. Because right now Saudi Arabia is sending troops, ground troops to Bahrain to suppress the protesters, because the majority of the Bahraini population are Shias, and they respected Imam Khamenei a lot. They admired him. But the ruling family is Sunni, and they are associated with Saudi Arabia. And whenever there are protests, even back in 2011, UAE and Saudi Arabia helped Bahrain suppress the popular uprising in the country. And right now we're seeing that it's happening again. In Iraq, people have come out on the streets in massive numbers. And they're trying to take over the green zone, or the U.S. interests in the region. In Karachi, Pakistan, 20 protesters were killed by security forces that were trying to protect the U.S. consulate in that country. There are beautiful images of protesters trying to get on top of the buildings and raise Iranian flag as opposed to the U.S. flag. So the people of the region they're fed up with their own governments and states, and they have been, stripped of their ability to rise up, because the crackdown on protesters are horrible. And the reason, for example, that we're not seeing much happening in the UAE is that only 20 or maybe less than 20% of the population in UAE are citizens. So you have a client state with 80% non-locals who have nothing, who don't want to lose the small earning that they have, the salary that they have, because, they have left their countries and everything behind to work there to just provide for their family. Some of them, as you have said, I've talked to taxi drivers in UAE, and some of them said they haven't seen their families in 2 years because they cannot even afford going back to their own countries with the money that they're paid. So this is what's happening in the region. And the all these client states that have allied with the United States are paying a price, but the people have risen up and they are voicing, they're showing their strong opposition to the U.S. forces. There are images of this American pilots ejecting after their fighter jets were taken down by Iran, which, by the way, they're going to claim that it was in friendly fire, but like three different jets in friendly fire is interesting to happen. The Kuwaiti people are clearly mad at the U.S. occupation forces in their countries. They don't want those occupation forces, and they don't want to pay a price for U.S. adventurism and warmongering policies. They don't want to pay a price for what the U.S. does to protect Israel. And in the region, everyone hates the Zionist regime, because everyone has been a victim of their terrorist activities. And I think, for the future, or for what everyone is hoping comes out of this war, is at least the total destruction of the Zionist terrorist organization. That's what the world hopes for. I mean, everyone, even in America, the youth, the younger generation are fed up with the Zionist lobby taking over their country. They are fed up with having to pay the price for saving a Zionist terrorist entity thousands of miles away from their homes. So this is what would be the least that people of the world expect.
Just for clarity, though, when you talk about Zionists, you're not necessarily referring to Jews, because we know that Christian Zionists outnumber Jewish Zionists.
Exactly. Yes, but when I'm talking about the destruction of the Zionist entity, it's because these are the purveyors of that ideology. The Christian Zionists, as you mentioned, That are like, there are a lot of them in the US, but also unfortunately some of the churches in Africa, throughout Africa, have been hijacked by the Zionist ideology, and they're promoting. So a lot of people are just consumers of those brainwashing campaigns and propaganda. They do not understand that Zionism is taking away their original Christianity and their original Christian beliefs, which was about Jesus Christ and Saint Mary, which was about being on the right side of history, just like Jesus Christ preached.
Yeah, it wasn't about the state of Israel.
Exactly. It was never about the Zionist regime. It was never about protecting a settler colonial project that was created in 1948 in order to protect the imperialist powers' interest inside in the region. That was never, ever part of the Bible or part of the Christian teachings. But of course, that the Zionists want to infiltrate churches and Christian teachings to preach that. But I think a lot of people are waking up to that. I'm seeing a lot of people understanding, realizing that, no, this is not part of Christianity. Jesus Christ did not want us to die for a settler colonial genocidal entity. This is not what Christianity stands for. But we also have anti-Zionist Jews. There are many anti-Zionist Jews who are speaking out. There are Jewish journalists, academics that are speaking against the Zionist regime. And they also understand that for the world to have peace, this settler colonial project has to be ended. That's the only way that the world can have some fresh breath and can experience peace a little bit. So I'm very hopeful that more people will wake up to this and understand that, especially among Christians, that Jesus Christ was also a Palestinian. So if he was alive today and among us, he would definitely, with all force, resist the Zionist genocidal campaigns. He would definitely want us, expect us to stand for what is right and to fight for what is right, because that's what Jesus Christ preached his people. And it's a teaching for everyone. It's not only for Christians, because as you know, in Islam also, we believe that Jesus Christ, and he is a very important part of our belief. You cannot be a Muslim without believing in Jesus Christ and Saint Mary. In fact, a lot of us take pride in dressing the most similar way, like us Iranian women, the most similar way to the way Saint Mary dressed. You know, the images of Saint Mary, this is the closest, which is the modest way that is meant to protect the society and protect the family and protect women from becoming objectified and commodified for a class of, you know, pedophiles and rapists.
So Iran is not sitting still. They have responded with what somebody labeled as Operation Great Blinding, which is part of what you mentioned a moment ago, where you said that there are U.S. military infrastructures surrounding Iran in various Arab countries. And Iran has been attacking those exact infrastructures to dismantle the communication network.
Exactly. I mean, as Iran had warned ahead, multiple times, that this is what's going to happen if Israel and the United States start attacking Iran. And we have, I mean, they took out our most important political leader and the most popular leader, who was not only a leader for Iran, but also for a lot of other people who were anti-imperialist and anti-colonialism in the region, and not just across the world. He was admired by a lot of people. I'm seeing images of memorials being held for him across the world. It's not even only in Asia. It's also in like Latin America and in Europe. But yes, Iran is very precisely and in a very impressive manner, and in a manner that has never been seen before, targeting very important military infrastructure in the within the occupied territories occupied by the Zionist regime, and also U.S. military bases, one U.K. base, one French base in the region. And these are all occupation bases. Iran has every right to defend itself. These bases have been used to carry out airstrikes and carpet bombings of Iran. And Iran has every right to defend itself. And that's exactly what Iran is doing. And they have to wait for more to come. They have opened a hellfire on themselves. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And any country that wants to host a U.S. occupation base, they have to pay the price for it. I mean, we consider the nations our friends, and we don't want to we don't want to harm those nations. But the occupation forces, the military bases that have been used to kill Iranians are very legitimate targets based on international law for Iran, and that's exactly what Iran is targeting. But also, I think we have to be very careful for, because the U.S. and Israel are losing this war, and they're going crazy, and we have to be very careful of false flag operations happening. False flag operations that might be blamed on Iran. We're hearing that, for example, the Saudi oil field was targeted, but Iran said that we did not target that. And, you know, Iran, when they say we did not, I mean, if they were taking, we're being proud of, and we're bragging about targeting U.S. military bases in the Persian Gulf. So there would be no reason that if we did actually target a place, we would hide it from the public. So we have to be very careful. I mean, Tucker Carlson talked about how Mossad agents were arrested for trying to do a false flag operation and then blame it on Iran. So, and this is, I'm sure that's not the only one where we have to be very vigilant, very careful of false flag operations happening in the region or outside the region, and even in Europe or America, and then blamed on Iran. That's what they always do to, you know, especially when they see that they are losing a war.
I spoke to a friend of mine who lives in Dubai, very close actually to where this one specific bombing occurred. And he said nothing to worry about. It was highly, highly specialized.
That's exactly true. Yes, because as we have seen so far, even in the occupied territories where those settlers are positioned, Iran has been very precise in avoiding human casualties as much as possible. It's not, we're not a death cult like the Israelis are. We don't enjoy killing people. We just defend ourselves. And anyone, I mean, in the words of Franz Fanon, this is revolutionary violence. This is the response that any colonized colonized nation would have. We're not colonized. We have liberated ourselves 47 years ago from imperialist powers, but we're trying very hard to keep that liberty and freedom for ourselves. So we're trying very hard. This is an existential war for us. We don't want to lose our independence and our freedom. So we will target any U.S. and Israeli interest in the region. And then if any country wants to help Israel and the U.S. in attacking Iran, then they should know that there will be very legitimate targets for Iranian strikes.
Whose war is this?
That's a good question. I think this was mostly Israel's war, but I mean, that's what people are talking about. But I think it's the whole Epstein class war. It's also the global economy moguls who want to, you know, shake up the economic system of the world and reset it. Look at the
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stocks going up. Look at the prices and everywhere, like going high, or the prices of oil stocks and everything. That tells you whose war this is. Who is benefiting the most from this war? And I think that's why, just because Trump was warned that this is going to be a very stupid mistake, and it's going to drag the U.S. into a war that it can never win. I mean, the U.S. did not even win the Vietnam War or the Afghanistan War or the Iraq War. They never won any wars, and they're definitely not going to win this war. Iran is much, much more stronger than any of these countries, and we have a very unified and military force. The armed forces of Iran are totally on the side of the leader and the nation. You know how Trump is wishing that some of them would defect, but that's not going to happen. He does not understand Iran. He does not understand the armed forces. But despite all of those warnings, it happened. And I think there is a sort of Epstein, Rothschild class that is definitely benefiting from this war on an economic level. And they're the ones that wanted to sacrifice everyone for this. And they're the ones who wanted this war to happen.
About a month ago, or maybe a bit more, there was a CIA-backed attempt to create a color revolution in Iran, and that didn't work either.
Yes, the January riots, I mean, the protests, the very legitimate protest in response to the very high inflation that we have and the crazy prices that we have had, which is, by the way, the result of sanctions. And U.S. officials have bragged about how they have messed up with Iran's economy, how they have destroyed or tried to destroy Iran's economy through sanctions. And as a result, it's always the people, innocent people, who have to pay the price. And people have been under a lot of pressure. It was becoming very difficult on a daily basis to afford a living. And all of us are affected. All of us are struggling financially. But a lot of us understand that this is another war. It's a financial war and terrorism against Iran. But the majority of the people who are under economic pressure will blame it on the government. And I'm sure the government does have a big role in the wrong policies that they chose. And there are very legitimate grievances against the government. So people start protesting by going on strikes, closing their shops, and coming out on their streets, and with very clear economic slogans and grievances. But then these protests, which were happening for like 10, 11 days, were hijacked by a group of very angry, very violent, and heavily armed protesters, or as we say, who started just destroying everything, putting on fire, burning houses, cars, like just random cars on the street, buses, mosques and hospitals, firefighter stations, just anything at their hands. And there are accounts of shooters from like people, there are images and collected from the security cameras from the shops, which shows armed agents from among the protesters shooting randomly at people, snipers shooting randomly at people. And then you also had some of these protesters were there on the streets for very legitimate grievances that they had. And their protests were hijacked. A lot of people left the street once they saw the violence, but a lot of people were also caught in the middle of the fire. The leaders of these riots were encouraging people to take over police stations. And in where in the world can protesters attack a police station or a military base without fire being opened on them? It's very tragic. It's very sad. But that's exactly what happens everywhere in the world. If you attack a police station, the worst thing that happens is that people actually take over, and there are thugs that will take over the guns and the weapons there, and they will start their killing spree on the streets. And that's the last thing that you want to see happen to our country, because this was urban war, like a civil war. It would cause more deaths. This is by no means to justify the killing of these rioters, but I'm saying what I'm trying to say is, imagine a country under all sorts of attacks, and then Mossad and the United States bragging about having their agents walking behind the protesters on the streets. These are exactly the words of Mossad on Twitter. This is not something that I'm making up. Pompeo saying that we need to arm the protesters. John Bolton bragging about how, even back during the Woman Life Freedom protest, they have managed to deliver arms to protesters. Where in the world can you see armed protesters without being confronted by fire? We have lost more than 300 of our security forces. In my city alone, in only one night, 30 security forces and police forces were killed by protesters. Because, and remember, a lot of these security forces were not even armed. And that's how they were killed, because the government did not allow them to use arms. They were unarmed. They tried to disperse the protest, but then armed elements from among the rioters took over and started killing police officers. And, you know, in the majority of, even the civilized and developed first world countries, if you attack or if you kill police officers and security forces, you either are hanged or receive life sentence. That's what happens. But somehow in Iran, when it happens, they expect you to cheer these killers and then launch campaigns no execution, as if these were like all innocent people. So the U.S. and Israel were hoping that these riots would lead to the collapse of the establishment, and they prepared that. Like, that was the first step, or let's say the 12-day war in June was the first round of the attacks. Then in January, it was the second round of attacks on Iran through the riots, infiltrating the riots and trying to, polarize the society. And then when that, because Trump was calling the protesters to take over the institutions, their institutions, to take over police stations. This clown prince, as I want to call him, and what that's how the majority of the people in Iran think of him, Reza Pahlavi, whose father fled Iran after he was toppled by the Popular Revolution. He was a U.S. agent. He has been living with the money that he stole from Iranians in the U.S., and he has never had a job. And he is very proud of that. He's been living his comfortable life with the money that he stole from the people. And he is encouraging people to go on the streets, attack institutions, attack police officers. And yes, you're going to be killed, but that's the price that we have to pay, without him ever paying any price for it. And he has the blood of these protesters on his hands. He is the one who encouraged them and said that help is going to come. Help is going to come. You just take over your institutions and we'll finish the job, which was by Trump carpet bombing Tehran. That's how they're trying to help the protesters and liberate the country. This has always been about regime change in Iran. They want to change the regime, but they're not going to stick to that. They're going to go further and balkanize the country so that there is no unified, strong Iran that can threaten the Zionist regime, that can prevent the Zionist regime from extending its death cult and its genocide campaigns across the region. That's what they want. And it's very stupid and wishful and naive to think that even if they manage at some point to change, to topple the Islamic Republic, which is going to be a very, very difficult job, if not impossible for them to do, they're not going to place, for example, Reza Pahlavi. They're just going to balkanize the country. They're going to create chaos, perpetual chaos and crisis in the country, just like they did to Iraq, to Libya, to Afghanistan, and exploit those crises for their own. Then Israel can sit back and go on with genocide, with its genocidal campaign, and extend its borders to the greater Israel that they have always wished for. That's the ultimate plan. So, yes, that's also like the nuances there of protesters being killed should be very seriously reconsidered.
The balkanization of the Arab world, though, has been fairly successful.
That's true. Unfortunately, it has been. I mean, even the their campaign in Syria was successful. They managed to topple the government of Assad and replace it with a hit chopper and Al-Qaeda and ISIS fighter, and nobody is even protesting. People are just being killed and massacred on a daily basis in Syria. Syria has nothing left.
Let's just remember that Obama himself said that the U.S. created ISIS.
Exactly. And there are WikiLeaks documents showing how Clinton also bragged about having worked with Al-Qaeda. As you said, ISIS, I mean, they have always worked together. The former head of CIA met with Giuliani, and he said, "I'm one of your fans." Of course, the CIA head should be a fan of a head chopper terrorist. I mean, is it really surprising to people? That's exactly what's happening. And when we're talking about that, it does not mean, for example, the Assad government was perfect. It does not mean that there were no problems in Syria with the government. But who was replaced by Assad? Is it really any better for the Syrian people? And now, yes, the sanctions have been lifted. But what is there to live? What is there in Syria left for people to continue living? And when people try to say, oh, no, but the Iranian government did that and this did this, I want to ask them, name one country, one government in the entire world that has never done anything wrong. Never. Why do you expect that from the Iranian government then? Can you name one, like in France, in the US, there are all these extrajudicial executions. Like if you attack a police, you are killed on the spot. That's it. There is no trial. There is no court for you. Even if the police feels that you might have a weapon and kill them, they have the permission to kill you, and they do that. Just look at the number of people who are killed by the police in all these countries every year without even engaging in a protest, just because the police, like how many black people are being killed in the US on a daily basis because the police felt they might be a threat. And that's totally justified. And no one talks about no execution, because the executions happen without a trial on the streets. And these countries think that they have the high moral to tell us what to do and how to manage our country. They better just deal, solve their own problems.
What is your message?
My message to the world is that this war that we're fighting, Iran is not fighting only to protect Iran. We're fighting a class of pedophiles and cannibals, satanic Epstein class, with the documents are out there. if you want to know who we are fighting, and if you want to know who's on the right side of the history, just look at the crimes that they have committed. The two heads of states that we're fighting are, one is Trump with his being on the Epstein file and being the pedophile, cannibal, murderer. And the other one is Netanyahu, who has, he was a convinced war criminal, convicted war criminal, and which has a case of genocide at the International Criminal Court. He is wanted by the International Justice Court. These are the people that, or the regimes that are attacking Iran. That should tell you where Iran stands. And anything that you hear about Iran from the mainstream media, from the Epstein class media, is just an attempt to demonize Iranians and Iran, which has thousands of years of civilization, a very rich culture, and has never wanted to surrender. It's after the 1979 popular revolution that we have had, all we had wanted to do is to maintain and safeguard our independence. We have in the 300 year, if you go back from 300 years ago of the history of Iran, Iran has never attacked a country. We have defended ourselves, and we're proud of defending ourselves strongly, and we will do that without any consideration, but we have never started a war. We have never attacked a country. We have just defended ourselves, and this is the war that we're fighting against Satanism.
How can I follow your work?
I'm on Twitter or X now. That's mainly where people can follow. And my handle, Twitter handle, is Lee Lacko. You can put it out for people, but it's also, I can spell it, at LEELAKO.
Satori Siddiqui, thank you for joining me in the trenches.
Thank you, Jerem, for this conversation.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.